sir. What is your name, sir?
Virginia R. Russell.
Mr. Russell, yes, I am one moment. As the Honorable Mr. Dale Rittenhouse will be leading your hearing, sir.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay.
All right. Could you start again? I know you just said your name, but could you please just state your name and your ADC number for the record, sir?
Capri DeVille Russell, 104603.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding two allegations on your warrant of arrest. You were notified about this hearing on April 10th. You signed the form, at least. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir.
There's a notification form. Okay, and on that form, the reason this is important is that your hearing rights are on there, and one of those is that you could hire at your expense a licensed attorney. Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today? It's just optional. Okay, thank you. You're not required to hire an attorney. And I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board who are conducting this hearing. If you look on the video screen to your right, my left, down that way, all the way in the end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right in the center here is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my right here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be leading the hearing today. Also with us in the room, we have Mr. Westby, who you can see there on the camera now. He is with the Department of Corrections, and he will represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing. So before we start, I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Russell and Mr. Westby, we also have your wife in the room. And will you be speaking today, ma'am? Okay, so I need to swear the three of you in then. So I need to swear Mrs. Russell, and Mr. Westby. So all three of you, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Russell?
Yes.
Mrs. Russell?
Yes.
And Mr. Russell?
I do.
Thank you. Thanks to all three of you. Mr. Russell, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. And the first phase is to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision. And then the second phase, we determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, for phase one, what I'll do is I'll read each of these two allegations to you, and I need you to tell me if they're true or false. And then the board, if you believe it's false, we'll get testimony from Mr. Westby. And then the board will determine if you violated your conditions. Okay, sir? You ready to go? All right, so we'll start phase one. And Mr. Russell, your first allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by providing a urine specimen that was adulterated by dilution and unsuitable for testing on or about February 26, 2018, per the task lab report dated February 27, 2018. Mr. Russell, is that true or false?
I take medication for the diluted urine sample. So it's true, but it's caused by medication that they know about.
Okay, sir. All right. And the other allegation, allegation number 2, that you were in violation of condition number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by not following your mandatory weekly itinerary on or about March 6, 2018, as verbally directed on March 2, 2018. Mr. Russell, is that true or false?
It's true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Russell's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, just one second for Mr. Russell, so I mark some paperwork. Motion made by myself, seconded by Dr. Wright, agreed by Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. All right, I need to mark a few other things here so I get this right. Okay, so Mr. Russell, we can move to phase 2 of your hearing and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we do that, Mr. Reske is going to give us some background information so we get to know your case a little bit. So just stay on the line. We'll be right back to talk with you again in a minute. Mr. Reske.
February 20th, 2018, Mr. Russell was released from DOC. He was arrested March 7th, 2018 by DOC staff, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody that same day, March 7th, 2018, with a projected CSED of January 1st, 2060, which is life. There is zero absconding, current conviction, 1994 for murder, first degree, life, 1994 armed robbery, 7.5 years, 1994 burglary, first degree, 10.5 years, 1994 kidnapping, 7.5 years, 1994 armed robbery, 7 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 3. STG gang information notes, he's an admitted member of the Westside City Crip criminal street gang. He has no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with violence and drugs noted. Other arrests, 1990, theft of a vehicle, 2 counts, Arizona juvenile probation, 1990, trespassing, juvenile probation. His community risk score is a G2V4.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. So, Mr. Russell, it looks like looking at your supervision summary here, you were living at on Cocopa Street in Avondale with your wife?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and did you stay there the whole time that you were on supervision?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Were you working at all?
No, I was job searching. I filled out probably like a little over 100 job applications.
Okay.
Most of the emails and stuff that I received started coming after they arrested me. I had like a copy of it. I don't know if my wife was able to break it, but...
Yeah, job search can be tough. They can really be tough. You feel like you want to give up, and then a few, offers start coming in, and you can keep going. Okay, so you had mentioned earlier in phase one of this hearing that you did submit a diluted urine specimen on February 26th, but then you submitted a follow-up, it says here, on the 27th, which was normal.
Yes.
Okay. Had you had a drug problem in your life? Or, I know you've been locked up for quite a while, so...
No.
You hadn't had a drug problem before?
No.
Okay.
I was 13 when I got locked up.
Right. Well, your criminal history doesn't suggest, at least the little bit we got, doesn't suggest any drug-related offenses. Okay. Let's see, what else? What happened with the itinerary?
No, I got lost and I've been having anxiety and depression issues. I kind of got lost. So I asked my auntie to come pick me up. She picked me up and took me to the locations. But during some of the locations, she asked us that she needed to make. She had a parent-teacher's conference that was later on that day. And that's how some of the stops happened. But like during the stops, instead of her driving to like the apartments in a different place and then she needed to drop some groceries off, I just told her just park at the corner on Main Street and where the GPS knows where I'm at. That it doesn't confuse me with being at somebody's house or apartment or stuff like that. All the GPS is on Main Street.
Right, that's logical thinking. That makes sense. So it looks like you stopped at a family member's office, and then the other store is a store known as Fascinations?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and did you go in the store?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That was my mistake.
Okay, so that one you did. And why did you? Any particular reason?
Massage room and a foot tub.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Russell, you served a long, long term in prison.
Yes, ma'am.
And when you met with your parole officer, I think your parole officer probably explained to you how important it is to follow the rules and stick to your itinerary. What were you thinking? What?
Sort of got confused because he gave me okay to like ride with family members and stuff like that, and I asked him whether or not I would have to text him like every time, like let's say the car drives over here or drives like or stops at the store or something, and I asked him if I would have to text him, and he said no. He said the GPS shows exactly where you are, so you don't have to do that. That's the only reason why I wasn't calling him. This was the, like the first day that somebody gave me a ride to my wife and started back work.
Okay.
So it was like, I've been denied healthcare access. I have no mental health medication, anxiety treatment, but going through a lot of stuff, that's the reason why I let my auntie give me a ride.
Do you, are you feeling better now, sir?
Did you
get meds?
Since I've been in there, I don't want to go back and forth, because the last time I was in there, I was like side effects from the medication. So they told me to wait till I get out. Then when I got out, then I held insurance, so it was like the last 2-3 days, I finally found somebody that treated me. And finally was able to buy some medication, but she said it would take like a week or so for the anxiety and stuff and the stuff to kick in.
Right. So, but now that you're back there at the prison, are you feeling better now? Were they able to get you some meds?
This is the last 2 days in the prison had me on. I had side effects from sauce, so I stopped taking the stuff that's in here because the side effects was like chest pain. It was like kind of serious stuff.
Yeah, that would be serious. Okay. And they haven't found anything else for you?
Nah, because the doctor told me to wait till I get released to give me better medications so that it's less complications.
Understood. Okay. All right, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Do they have a question? Mr. Nelson?
Sir, the PO said that in the reports that you had a cell phone.
Yes, sir.
And that they checked your cell phone, and that when they checked your cell phone, that they could see the history that you were trying to find out how long does alcohol stay in your system and does spice show up in a drug test. Why are you researching that information?
Someone would ask me a question about it. Like in here, they do spice tests and alcohol tests and stuff like that. And she has a son that's having a problem. She asked me, where did she find tests from? And the only thing I knew was the test that they gave us in here. So I helped her do a search. But in DOC, they actually test her for that.
Okay. So you got put on a monitor. He was on your monitoring system. And it says that on March 6th, you had got permission to go, I believe it was, you got permission to go to the Goodwill, then you had permission to go to Dress for Success on 1024 East Buckeye Road. Those were the two places that you had permission to go to. But you went to an apartment at 27th Avenue in Ocotillo. Who lives at that apartment?
My auntie dropped her niece off there.
Your auntie dropped her niece off there?
Yes.
Okay.
My auntie parked on the street, and she walked to like it was a nice little business to drop her off to stay away from the apartment complex. I told her that I couldn't be near any residential areas, any apartment complexes, so I asked her to park on the main road, which is where I stayed, never, right where the car pulled up, it was exactly where I stayed at. Then walked down the street into the residential area. She got out and walked herself.
Okay, then you said you went to another resident at 31st Avenue in Loomwood.
Yes, that's where she went to drop some groceries off. It was during, well, the time that I was at the South Salvation Army. She went some other places and did some grocery shopping and stuff for a PTA meeting later on that day. So by the time she came to pick me up, she had groceries in the car. So she dropped off there and dropped the stuff off. That's where her sister lives.
Okay, and so what did you do while you were at that residence?
At both times I was on my phone doing different job searches. I have like some of the texts from like around that very time that I was talking to Zion Road in college, and they were trying to help me get financial aid. And I was talking to one of the financial aid ladies during the time of all this stuff was going on. I actually had this stuff right here, but they told me that I didn't need to send anything to the hearing.
Okay, so then after you did that there, what you guys, you said your auntie had already done the shopping and dealer stuff, so why did you guys stop at the smoke shop?
No, my auntie stopped at a plaza. She pulled in a parking lot. I don't know what store she went in, but like I said, during these times, I'm on the phone talking.
Well,
but she stopped, she pulled in into a parking lot at the plaza. I didn't get out of the car, I stayed in the same spot in the parking lot.
Well, it says that that monitor that you have is very accurate, sir. And the monitor says that you went to the smoke shop. So do it.
No, I never got out the car.
Well, the monitor is
picking
you outside.
See, as the car pulled up on the monitor, it's exactly where it stopped is where I stayed, because I never got out the car. And this was in the actual parking lot on 59. And in this parking lot, it was probably like, I don't know, probably like 12, 13 stores. And she grabbed the open parking lot spot, which is the exact spot that I stayed in the car, because I didn't want to get out or move around. Because like he told me, the GPS is showing exactly where I was. And it shows where the car stopped at is where I stopped at. That I never got up and walked to any stores, took any paces to the left or the right. I stayed exactly in the car.
Okay.
I was aware of what my parole officer had told me.
So it says that, sir, while you were on the monitor, that on February 21st, that you had been staffed about being and being at locations that were not approved by your PO. And that, so you were well aware of this situation that you had to be exactly where you were supposed to be.
Yes, sir, from the fascinations. The fascinations stopped on the first day.
Okay, you told him that you understood he was going to follow the directions after that, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So where did your auntie pick you up at? Did your auntie pick you up at home or what?
No, I think it was like somewhere between 91st and Benjamin. I walked from like Avondale Boulevard, like Buckeye Avondale Boulevard, to like Vanbury and Avondale Boulevard, all the way down to like maybe like 91st Avenue in Van Buren, which is where my auntie finally picked me up, because I had been looking for buses in there and none passed by. So I kept walking and walking because I didn't want to stop. You know what I mean? Having to pick up stop or somewhere. So I kept walking. Then she finally picked me up on like 91st.
So just one more question. It says that the parole officer says that your auntie was supposed to pick you up and take you home. And he also asked why didn't you call the parole officer? And you were unable to provide an explanation.
No, I tried to explain to him. He said he didn't want to hear it. It was four other officers that was right there. He said, I get to tell my story later. But I actually tried to explain to him what happened. Because all of the stuff that happened, it's actually like all the text messages and stuff that I have right here between me and my wife, was the time that I was with my auntie, and she was giving me these lines on communicating with my wife, and then, you know, what's going on with the financial aid advisors that was helping me get student aid.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Mr. Quinones has a question for you, Mr. Russell. Mr. Quinones, go.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Russell, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I want to begin by saying that I'm grateful as to the circumstances that you were returned to the correction system, in as much that you weren't arrested for a major crime. We don't have any evidence that you were brought in for using drugs. But I got to tell you, and it's certainly not my position to scold, but when this board votes individually on the open meeting laws of Arizona to grant home arrest, the whole community is watching this. The whole community. It's a lot of responsibility. The whole community is judging our mercy. And I have some real concerns as one individual voting board member is whether or not you took your home arrest condition seriously. Because I'm listening to the dialogue right now. The majority of the questions have been asked from my colleagues, and I think they've covered most of the probably the important questions, so I don't want to drag this out. But in listening to that dialogue, I have some real concerns. And I have a quick question, too. When you came before this board, because we hear a lot of hearings, did you bring a lot of community support with you?
Yes, sir.
And who represented that community support? Was it just family, or did you have inmates' rights groups with you, or...? Okay. So how are you feeling now? I mean, have you learned anything from this process?
Yes.
And what have you learned, sir? So I have no further questions.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Russell? Okay. I had one, and of course I've forgotten. But what we'll do, Mr. Russell, is we have your wife here, and so we'll take some testimony from her, if that's okay with you. Would you like to come up?
Yes.
Can you remember? Just state your name.
I'm glad you got to hear it. Hi, my name is Kimberly Russell.
Welcome.
And I'm Deputy's wife.
And what would you like to tell the board?
And I just want to tell the board, like, when he came home and for the first time, what was it, the 19th, when he was supposed to get released. Mm-hmm. And then come to find out it was like a holiday or something, so it was like just another day, so it was like, but going to the location on 16th Street and waiting, oh my God, the anticipation of it all. And we finally got off the bus and going home and talking to his parole officer and coming home, the 2 weeks was like the best 2 weeks. And trying to figure out like the whole dynamic of how to take everything in stride and trying to do everything right to where nothing is like deviated from the plan and everything is on straight and narrow. So when it came to the itinerary, we wasn't quite sure how that worked. We asked questions and then we ended up getting a form from his parole officer and trying to get explained, like, okay, even an example of how it's supposed to work, and I'm putting the folders together, what we did from week to week, starting a new one, helping them with sending them in and posting like on our wall, like, okay, what we have planned. On that particular day, like, it was going to be the two places, and then of course I'm going back to work. That day, although I was kind of hesitant about him trying to take the bus, I'm like, no, don't do that. Not yet, although you will need to do that at some point. But at that time, I wasn't like, yeah, you should kind of like wait, maybe get a cab, although you can go directly to those spots. So when I got the call from my mom, when I was at work, that he was getting arrested, I'm like, nah, don't play this joke on me because it's not funny. And walking, coming off work, going into the house, and you feel that emptiness, like that missing piece of you just gone. So, it hit me hard. And it still does hit me hard because he's not home. So, hopefully he knows now not to like go to any other spots where, you know, car like goes directly to where the place is on your inventory says and communicate better or even more with your PO officer. Your probation, yeah, PO officer, well, parole officer, yes, sorry. Where he's going or if any plan changes, contact them immediately so that way we can get a response back so we don't end up back here, although you're wonderful to look at, but trying to, you know, stay away from getting, you know.
So how did he do upon, I mean, it must be a big shock after being in prison for that long of time.
Yeah.
At first, mm-hmm. I mean, we always warn people that after such a long time to take it slow.
Yes. Yeah, and I think with him in a way, like, I don't know, being in prison is kind of like complicated a little bit. You gotta, like, you're on the time, like, okay, you gotta get this done, you gotta get count, do this. Mm-hmm. And then coming home is like, okay, you don't have to rush so much, you can take your time, you don't have to rush. And, you know, taking everything slowly, not too slow to where you like, okay, this is dragging it out. But getting him to, you know, look on the computer and try to like take steps of doing this, going to different programs, because I put like different packets together that I saw, like the, one of the workforce programs that we went to and all the places that we went to within those 2 weeks, other than the time on the 6th that I went back to work, I was taking him to all these spots. So going to all these spots and then coming right home and then getting denied medical care access. So that was kind of like a big error. And then the disability got denied for that as well. So our question was like, what next to where he can get benefits? And then I found like this church program out in Avondale where a doctor comes out once a week to do medical benefits at the church. So I contacted him and applied for that, and then eventually he got arrested to where he didn't make that appointment, so I had to call them to cancel that appointment out. So with all the other benefits that he did try to get were denied, so trying to go to different programs and searching for jobs and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure it can be very discouraging.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but you're giving him a lot of support, so yeah. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions from board members? No? Okay, anything else you'd like to tell us? Or?
Just give him a chance, because I know he can do it. Just put his best foot forward and with me on his. You know, me going back to work, I'm like, oh my gosh. But, you know, giving them a chance and just like, you know, sticking to structure, like, bam, this is what we're doing, bam. So if you're searching and calling around to certain places, because some of the places that we were calling, they weren't doing those programs anymore. So just calling around to certain locations and finding out if there are still doing the programs before documented on the itinerary, because we can pretty much go somewhere else other than if they're still active or inactive. So just getting those things together and just finding other job sources, like you said, with the with going back to school and the financial aid officer and stuff like that. So, and doing work around the house until he finds something, you know, that he can go to, even though, like, with transportation, that's going to be somewhat of a hiccup because I know other family members have jobs and stuff like that. And I'm only off on Sundays and Mondays, so where I can do a lot more on Mondays. And even like with the little area around the house, we have a little closet area where we have shopping center fries and stuff like that to see if they're hiring. And although with his charges and stuff like that, hopefully he'd be able to get a job. But I know sometimes it's kind of difficult with transportation and finding that route to get back and forth to places.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, ma'am, and we'll continue with the hearing then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Russell?
Yes, ma'am.
Coming toward the end of your hearing, I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement, if you'd like to do that before the board goes into discussion. You know how it works, because you've been here before. Is there anything else you'd like to tell the board?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead.
That it wasn't deliberate. I thought that it would be okay if she like parked in these areas. I went deliberately like trying to go to like apartments and stuff. She literally walked like down the street and like a block or so to get to where she was going to leave me at Main Street to take the precautions. You know what I mean? But I was there. I can think of it. It's just tonight it went. But my wife, she needs help. And doing my best to go to these different places so I can eventually get a job to help her out. And it was a blow not being able to get health insurance or access or food stamps or anything that most people get after how long I've been in here. So I'm just trying to help. That's the only thing. And trying to make it easier by accepting rides from family members and bus. That was like way too much for me.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay, sir, thank you. And I know it must be difficult after being, you know, in prison so long. So, but hang in there because stuff will come.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Mr. Johnson has a question.
So before we go into discussion, I just have one question. Is there a reason why your aunt, who took you around to these different locations, didn't write a letter or come in and speak on your behalf?
They said that she's out of town. She was here. She was here at the last hearing. But they said she was out of town. There was like an emergency or something. You know, she had intended to show up at the hearing.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Russell, the board is going to go into discussion then. And all we ask is you just remain. Stay on the phone there, remain silent, and we'll be right back with you in just shortly, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so the board is now in discussion. Gosh, this is a case I remember when we talked about the home arrest, and Mr. Russell's just having difficulty with the extreme structure. He's come from extreme structure, but this is maybe a structure with a little bit more freedom, and he's having difficulty with that. I mean, his logic is good about parking the car and letting his aunt walk a distance. That's good logic, but he's going to have difficulty getting around, and perhaps part of it is he may be trying to do too much too soon. Has had some significant setbacks with being denied insurance and such, but those things will come in time. He has such a long remaining sentence. I really had hope for him when he granted home arrest. So I'm really torn, and I'd like to hear what other board members have to say about this. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I really hear what you have to say, especially about being torn. And in my own words, feeling invested in the success of the people that this board grants home arrest to. I guess my large concern is that, especially with some of the questions from Mr. Johnson, our colleague, there just seems to be some holes in the story, especially some of the information surrounding his phone searches. I'm just concerned with so much at stake after him having been in the system for a major crime. I can swing back to we had some struggles adjusting with the community, so I don't want to be completely hard-nosed on this, but I'm having some intuition struggles. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, that may be more I'm struggling to. Mr. Johnson?
I understand the issue of just, you know, if he was riding or just on and going, but I'm telling you, I just have, I'm having a problem just believing it. Because, you know, what he's saying in the location, those GPS things are pretty accurate. And so, you know, it didn't say that he was at just at the strip mall. It said the GPS showed him at that particular smoke shop. So, you know, if it would have just said that he was at the strip mall, and then he says that when he went to those other residences, that his auntie parked, you know, ways away, and then he stayed in the car, and then she walked to the residence, and he's just stayed in the car each of those times, and the GPS shows him being outside that particular residence for 10 to 15 minutes outside that particular residence, which, I mean, there's just, to me, it's just not adding up. And then everything is about someone else. The whole idea of, you know, him having the cell phone, and while he's on the cell phone, he's looking to see how long does alcohol stay in his system, how long does spikes show up on the UA, and then his idea is that he's asking that question and researching that for someone else who has a son that's incarcerated that wanted to get that information, that they came to him for him to research, you know, that particular information. I just don't find Mr. Russell being truthful at this point. That's just my feeling on it. And if he's not truthful, then I'm not sure exactly what he was doing on that. Did say that he did take a UA the next day after that original one that he missed and it was diluted. He did take a UA the next day that tested negative, and it was negative, which is a good thing. But I'm just having some problems after he went to the Fascination store and stopped at one other location, and they called him in and talked to him about it and told him that he had to go to specific locations each time that he actually had his PO, and he still has a long time to go. But I think that, you know, we put trust in him to follow the directions that he's supposed to do when he got out on home arrest, and informed him that he had to follow, you know, all of those instructions. And I think Mr. Quinones said earlier, it just maybe appears that he just is taking this situation way too lightly, that, you know, he could do those things. But there's no indication that really that his story about the auntie picking him up and taking him and doing that, there's no nothing from the auntie. The auntie's not here.
Mr. Russell, the board's in discussion.
Sorry about that.
So I just have an issue, although he does have a long time still left on his parole, but I'm having some problems with that.
And maybe that's one of the things that's bothering me the most, is that there was so much at stake that one would think that he would really, really want to follow every rule, because we went out on a limb for him. I remember that day, the family was huge, but there was the strong family support. And it just seems like he's not taking it seriously. And any other comments from board members, Mr. Neal, Dr. Wright?
Yes, ma'am. He's not taking it seriously. I think that one of the things, and maybe it's not just him,
I always remember that Honorable Mr. Johnson usually say to them, and he probably said it to Mr. Russell as well, is that you're still an inmate when you're on home arrest. You're not out there. You're not on just parole. You're still considered to be an inmate, and you have to follow the laws, the policies, just as if you are still incarcerated. You're given an opportunity. He was given an opportunity, and as I believe right up front, 30 minutes ago, I believe that Mr. Pawanis pointed out the fact, you know, that it's just hard for this board to accept someone who violates the terms and conditions. And this board, when it goes out on a limb, the other thing that I would just point out is that he would be, more than likely, he would be certified before, what is that, 2060? Yeah, he would be certified before then by the Department of Corrections. Therefore, we don't know the exact date, but the time clock would work that out. Therefore, he's not going to be there. He'll come before this board again. If this board decides to leave him in, he will come back before 2060 or whatever that year is. So I just wanted to point that out. But it's a very unfortunate situation because we have that family here. He has such a wonderful wife. And then, you know, it's not just that he let this board down, but I feel sorry because he let the board down, but his family. Yeah. You know, I mean, the room was full, maybe not full, but more likely almost full. And I think that they feel bad too, that's really not here. And I'm not speaking of anyone in particular because I don't know who they are. But I think that, you know, no one wants to be let down, no one wants to be embarrassed. But I said all that to say that I'm not in favor at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir.
Ms. Rubin, just a quick question, because I was writing so fast when we went through the background information. Was he arrested for first-degree murder or attempted first-degree murder?
Murder.
First-degree murder. Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, based on our discussion, which I'm very grateful for, Mr. Neal, by the way, you didn't say anything. Did you have anything to add? I mean,
we've all taken the words out of my mouth.
Okay, that's what I thought you were saying. So, okay. I am going to make a motion, and that is to, I'm going to move to revoke home arrest, as Mr. Russell was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by not following the itinerary and not staying in very close contact with this parole officer, as it was explained to him that he really must abide by all of those conditions. That is my motion.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. It's not a happy motion, but Mr. Russell, the board has voted to revoke your home arrest, sir. I think it was explained to you when you were here, and you had your large family that said they would support you. When you're on home arrest, sir, you're still an inmate, and you can't, you really must follow all of the rules to the letter, and in this case, you're not able to do that. So we feel like you've let the board down, and you let your family down. Most importantly, you let yourself down, sir. So you'll be the board, since it was home arrest and not a truth in sentencing release, the Department of Corrections will recertify you at some point, I'm not sure exactly when, to come back before this board and see this board again. We do want to see you again, and we want you to be successful out there, but it's very, very important that you follow all of the rules that are set for you when you're on home arrest. Okay, sir, do you have any questions?
It was deliberate, it was not.
Understood, sir, but it's very important that you follow the rules when you're on home arrest.
Yes, I will.
Well, we'll see you again at some point in the fairly near future. I think it'll be 6 months, but I'm not. Don't quote me on that. But we'll see you. We'll see you soon. In the meantime, try to get Ned stabilized and get yourself kind of make yourself a little plan on how you're going to be able to do that. And we will see you again in a while. And okay, Mr. Russell, your hearing is concluded. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Yes, sir. Your home arrest is revoked, sir. All right, sir.
Okay.
Thank you so much. If you'd give the phone back to the CO3, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.